Welcome to the Fantasy Football Foursome. The Foursome answer your questions about players to pick up, players to drop, weekly matchups, injury reports, and current trends in fantasy football. Now, here's the host of the Fantasy Football Foursome, John Jennings.
Good Saturday morning. It is week 16. You've got to be kidding me. It is time for another edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. This show is brought to you in part by our friends at Giovanni's Pizza of Wilmer, and for the next hour, we're talking week 16, man. It's almost over, the regular season already. Anyway, our goal as always is to help you win your league. And if we can throw some advice to you, please shoot us a text on that Car Shopping text line, 320-235-9094. Let's introduce who's on the show. I know we normally talk Loon Fantasy Season, just your fantasy seasons in general. We're all in multiple leagues. Go ahead, Lyle.
Yeah, it was a good week last week. 4-0. Unfortunately, two were in toilet bowls. And now I get a really interesting rematch in my family league with my son, who Uh-oh. Has just absolutely destroyed me. My son, Nolan, has beat me twice in the regular season. I get a third crack at him. So I think it started pretty good with that Charger defense doing just ordinary on Thursday night. So I think I got a leg up on him.
Nice. And I'll introduce you to our eight-man guillotine champ, Jack.
Hey, let's go. Yeah, so seven leagues to begin the season like I do, three of which were guillotine. I got first in the eight-man. I was eliminated way too early in the 16-team. My fault. And then I got second in another one. My other four regular leagues, I'm in two playoffs. One of them, the Dynasty League, I'm absolutely fighting for 10th out of 10 places. I'm dead last. And in the Loon League, I am also dead last. I think I have three wins on the year. Like it is, I'm still only scoring about 65 points a week. I'm throwing everything at the wall, man, and nothing is sticking. So I just cannot wait to redraft next year.
The ebbs and flows of fantasy. Well, I got the title, my second title in 5 years in 16-man guillotine. I'm not going to separate my shoulder or anything, pat myself on the back. Things were going so wonderfully in the Loon League. Had a bye last week because I was a division winner. Oh, and while I was enjoying watching games stress-free, well, both my running backs are done for the year, and that's Alvin Kamara and David Montgomery. So, we will see.
Kamara might not be done. Kamara might not be done.
Well,
they're going to set it.
I got to get out of this week. Yeah, the Saints ain't got nothing to play for. I don't think they're going to play him. So, yeah, playoffs in Dynasty. Won my first matchup there. It's been a pretty good year. I have no complaints. Well, let's talk about Thursday night football, Lyle. You hinted to it. Chargers, I believe they secured a playoff spot in their win over the Broncos on Thursday night.
Yeah, if not, like it's virtually impossible for them to not make it or something like that. Yeah, Chargers are solid, but I was surprised how much points were scored in that game, to be honest. Usually the Thursday night games aren't exactly thrilling, but the offenses both looked pretty sharp in that game, especially Denver early. They got the 21 first half points, but... Yeah, those two, they look like playoff teams. Maybe they'll meet up again, yet again in a wild card or something like that.
Yeah, I know, Jack, you love to talk about Sean Payton any chance you can get, and I forgot to do the injury report, so we'll do that after this. But Broncos giving up 34 points, that's not like their defense.
No, not at all. They've given up just over 30 points only like two other times this year, at Baltimore and then Cleveland when Cleveland came to Denver. But yeah, they scored two fantasy points, the same as they did in week six when the Chargers came to Denver. They're still the number one ranked fantasy defense in a lot of leagues, so you got to stick with them, I think. But I was hoping for a better start on defense. There were some plays that, I mean, really, I think Herbert was just balling out. I mean, he was in tune. You could tell he was dialed in. So, I mean, all credit to them. You know what? I don't like Jim Harbaugh, but I like him better than Sean Payton still. Yeah. So.
I hear you there. Well, let's go over the injury report quick. Guys, if you're listening to this show, that means you're probably still in the running. But there are games today. The NFL schedule is screwball the next couple of weeks. There are games today. Get your lineup set today. On the injury report this week, Patrick Mahomes, he's going to play. He was a full participant in practice all week long. He is going to play this week. Jalen Hurts should be okay. Geno Smith is up in the air with a knee injury against the Vikings. Justin Fields is out. Not that you're starting him anyway. If you're listening to this show this week, you're not starting him. Nick Chubb, season-ending injury, out for the year. David Montgomery, season-ending injury, out for the year. Isaac Garendo is out. Alvin Kamara is out at least this week, I think for the rest of the year. Joe Mixon, Zach Charbonnet, Tony Pollard, Trey Benson. I think he's going to be out for sure, Benson. So you want to look for backups if you have James Conner. Braylon Allen, Sincere McCormick, after a nice little start to his career, he's out for the rest of the year as well. So keep an eye on that injury report today and tomorrow. As far as wide receivers go, Rashad Bateman, foot injury, was in a walking boot, should play. Hollywood Brown, they might get activated this weekend. Alec Pierce, Nick Westbrook, Akine, Jalen Waddle, more than likely out this week. Xavier Leggett, tweaking a groin. Curtis Samuel with a mild injury. He should be all right. Tight ends actually look fairly healthy for the most part. Looks like Will Disley is going to be out. Well, not that matters. That was Thursday night's game. But look for David Njoku. He's got a hamstring injury. The problem is DTR is throwing him passes. So, again, keep an eye on today's injury report and tomorrow's injury report, gang, because it is necessary. We will come back. This will take our first break and come back and talk daily fantasy for week 16. Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loon. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Fantasy Football Foursome. I'm going to say it over and over and over throughout this show. There are games today. Get your lineup set today. Especially if you've got players in today's games. We'll get to Trenchman and Benjamin, talk about that in a little bit. Time to talk about daily fantasy for week 16. Man, I'm struggling. My last 2 weeks, I based my lineups around the chalkiest running backs there were and just got flattened out in both contests or in both weeks. It was awful. So I'm changing things up a little bit this week. So let's talk about quarterbacks. Lyle, what do you got for this week?
Well, I'm going to go bargain basement, I think, mostly for quarterbacks this week. I got four guys written down, and the one I got in front of me, I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers, $5,600. He gets the Rams, who are an okay defense, but they're at home. Rodgers has pretty much put 20-plus points up since the time his best friend just showed up.
Devontae, Adams.
Yep. So, anyway, he just looks like he's a much better player. People have said he's healthier now, too, so I don't know if he's just finally hitting his stride here, but I like Rodgers to triple up this week.
Yeah, he was gangbusters last week. Jack, what do you got?
Well, you might only be able to get him at this price one time ever. Michael Penix Jr., $4,500. And you've got a young, athletic quarterback who's hungry, who's got the Giants coming to him, and he's got all the receiving weapons, he's got all the running weapons. I think for $4,500, I don't know how you go wrong.
I can't wait to see Michael Penix play. I'm excited. I'm excited for your Falcons. I like him. I think he's a quarterback who elevates the talent around him. I got a couple guys trying to save a little money here. I've got Drake May against Buffalo. I'm not expecting a huge outcome, but he's $5,800. I feel like I say this every week. He can get it done with his legs. He's going to have to get something done going up against Buffalo. So I'm hoping to get 3X out of him there. I like Anthony Richardson against Tennessee. The Colts went from a 75% chance of getting in the playoffs to a 15% chance. Tennessee's defense, you can run on them. There's a history of quarterbacks being able to run against them. $5,400 as probably a GPP play for this week. How about running backs, Jack?
Well, I am spending money on my running backs. So I've got like Bijan and James Conner in the lineup. I'm just going to keep it that way. But if you're looking to save a few bucks, we got to dig in if you're in San Fran. I mean, Miami's right in the middle of the pack against the run. But whatever running back San Francisco trots out there, you're going to be able to get them for less than $5,000. I just haven't seen, other than maybe, I don't know if it's going to be, Taylor Jr. I don't know if it's going to be him or what. So you got to look and see who that's going to be. But otherwise, I do like Jerome Ford, Cleveland going to Cincy with the Chubb injury. Cincy's 18th against the run on DraftKings. So I think it's a good matchup for $5,600.
Yeah, I had Jerome Ford down on my list. Lyle?
Yeah, Ford's on my list. For me, the chalk is Gibbs, 7,500. Jahmyr Gibbs. I think just with him having the whole backfield, you got to play him. I like Bucky Irving as well. I know he's questionable with a back or hip injury, but every time he's been questionable, he still plays, and he's been getting volume. He's been getting 20 rush attempts last month or so. And then if you're going like bargain basement, there's two options here, I think, or not bargain basement, but just better value. These injury guys, Kendre Miller for New Orleans, mm-hmm. or Tajay Spears for Tennessee, if those guys have their regular starters out, those guys are easy guys to sub in as a flex.
Yeah, I've got bargain basement here too. I like everything you guys said. Another guy is Amir Abdullah. Sincere McCormick goes down. You've got Alexander Mattison. He'll probably get the early down work. Abdullah's more of a pass catcher. And at $4,600, you don't need him to catch too many passes to have that play out. Real desperate play, but he's $4,800, is Ken Gainwell against Washington. How much do you run Saquon Barkley? I don't know.
He needs 152 yards, I think, per game right now to reach the record. So I think they're going to run him, to be honest with you.
I'd be shocked if they did with playoffs coming up, but you never know. So Gainwell is a GPP only play, and that is somebody who's going to be rostered in probably less than 0.5% of leagues. Let's go over to wide receivers, Lyle.
Yeah, I got Jaxon Smith-Njigba again. Getting the Vikings, they're going to be having to pass a lot, Seattle. He's at $6,000 on DraftKings. He's just their best receiver right now. I know Metcalf still gets a lot of attention, and he's still a quality player, but Smith-Njigba is taking over this offense, and I love his matchup against the Vikings, who they don't give up necessarily the most points, but they definitely give up yardage. So he should be a great PPR setup.
Yep, totally agree with that. Jack?
Yep, I agree. All right, so we've got a wide receiver down in Tampa Bay named Jalen McMillan, and for $4,100, in the last two games, John, we've got 13 targets, 135 yards, 9 receptions, 3 touchdowns. He has come on really quickly as one of Baker's favorite targets. And for $4,100, the option to have a 20-point game, I'll take that all day long. And then my other cheap option is going to be Patrick in Detroit. Part of it is because the running backs are out. But I think if I'm Detroit, I might not have Amon-Ra St. Brown out there for 90% of the routes. I might let him rest up a little bit. And Patrick is just coming on, and he's been getting the touchdown. So he's $4,500, Detroit going to Chicago.
I like Jalen Coker. That's right, I'm a Cokehead. Versus Arizona, $4,200. He's coming on. Bryce Young, that was a slip-up last week against Dallas. I think they get right against Arizona. I think my number one play, and probably who I'll probably be building my lineups around, I love the Bengals this week. I really do. I like Jamar Chase. He's of course the highest on the board at 8,500. I don't even mind throwing a little Andre Yosevash out there. T. Higgins is not playing for anything at this point. And Yosevash at $3,600, jeepers, that's how you get Jamar Chase in your lineup, is balance him out with a guy like Yosevash. How about tight ends, Jack?
Well, I'm spending my money and going Brock Bowers. Aiden O'Connell's back in the lineup. Jacksonville's coming to Vegas. So I'm spending big money and going with a super expensive option. If you need a really cheap option, again, so this is going to be a little bit of a dart throw here. Hold on, let me get this price right. Okay, because Penix is coming into the lineup, you might be able to get you some Kyle Pitts. And the reason, John, the reason, DFS, not your championship, DFS. The reason is, for $4,000, you may get 80 yards and a touchdown out of the guy finally. We really don't know how everyone else is going to produce outside of Bijan. We know he's still going to produce no matter what. He's matchup proof. He's quarterback proof. He's proof. But Kyle Pitts, I'm holding out for hope that it's been a quarterback issue. I don't think it is. I'll take a chance in one of my multiple DFS lineups at $4,000.
Fair enough. Lyle.
Yeah, if you're going to take a chance, now's the time. Yep. You're right. I think that's what you're saying. Yeah. And Breton Strange on the low end, $3,500. Just, he's not going to get 12 catches or 11. What was it last week?
11.
It's not happening again. But if you get 6 and 50 or something like that, or he squeezes in a touchdown like Halfmeyer did to beat me in Dynasty about 10 weeks ago, I still remember that one. That was a good one. He had one guy running on Monday night, and it was Brenton Strange, and he needed a hot touchdown, and that was the one that Jacksonville got. So Brenton Strange, maybe, for 3,500.
Brenton Strange was my guy for the punt tight end play. How can you can't turn your eyes away from 11 catches on 12 targets last week. The only guys Mac Jones has thrown the ball to is Thomas Jr. and the tight end, and the tight end is not Evan Engram, and it won't be for the rest of the season. So if Brenton Strange goes out there, man, that's a risk I'll take all day long at $3,500.
I don't think you can sleep on that Jacksonville-Las Vegas game. I think there's going to be some fantasy points in there that are cheap to get.
Yeah. I can't think of a worse game I've ever heard of on paper in my life, and in a long time, I guess, not in my life, than that. But yeah, I think you're right. I think there's cheap points to be had. Defenses, let's roll through them quick, Lau.
I'll save some money. Tennessee, not going to get a bunch of points, but they've gotten about 10, average 8 to 10 the last 4 or 5 weeks, and they get Indianapolis, who does turn the ball over quite a bit.
Yeah,
Jack, $2,600.
I agree with you, Jack.
Well, I'm spending my money on the Falcons, going all in on Atlanta here, see what happens. But if you want to save a few dollars, I really like New Orleans coming to Green Bay. Green Bay may hold them to no points. I mean, especially if Kamara's out. I mean, they're down to nothing on the weapons front. Their quarterback is terrible. Their coach is an interim guy or whoever the heck he is now. Like, I like Green Bay. And Green Bay still has to win every game. They have to fight hard every game. So I think Green Bay is really good at 3,200.
Spencer Rattler. I'm a fan. He's a gunslinger. The only other one I have down is Indianapolis going up against Tennessee. Indianapolis, a terrible defense, but Tennessee has an even worse offense. Mason Rudolph coming in, and that is pretty much a one-for-one with Will Levis, who has just been brutal this year. So I don't mind throwing something at the Colts this week for just $3,000.
Mm-hmm. John, wait. Lyle, don't you have Mason Rudolph and Will Levis in the Dynasty League?
I sure do. I'm enjoying them on my bench every week. Every week.
I mean, hey, I've got Justin Fields and Kirk Cousins on the bench too, man. I feel you, but man, you've got two of them from the same terrible team.
No, nobody's going to get that Tennessee quarterback away from me. Nobody.
You got that one on lock.
You guys in your quarterback stashing in the Dynasty League. I love it. Okay.
I just picked up Wentz, too. I got Wentz now.
I saw that. Carson Wentz. Oh, yuck. Oh, God, you guys. All right. We're going to come back. It's time for the United States Marine Corps Waiver Wire Warriors. Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loon. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome, a full weekend of football, things that if you're listening to this show, I know you appreciate. So why cook when you can just head over to Giovanni's and grab yourself either take and bake pizza, or they'll make it for you and you come pick it up, or better yet, they'll just deliver it to your house ready to roll with their take and bake options and their cool different types of pizza. Just go online to giovannisofwilmer.com and check out their options. These are not the options you see at the big box pizza or corporate pizza chains. This place is locally owned, locally operated, and makes the best pizza in town. Hey, they even have salad or wings and stuff like that. It's all football food. Call Giovanni's and take a break from cooking this weekend. 235-5555 online again at giovannisofwilmer.com. All right, United States Marine Corps Waiver Wire Warriors. Let's talk about quarterbacks, Lyle.
Man, this would be a really weird time to pick up one on the waiver wire and put one into your lineup for semifinal week. But if you were going to do one, I could see Anthony Richardson being available in half of leagues. He might be one to pick up for this week. But after that, I don't know if I could pick up Caleb Williams, even though he's available in about half of leagues as well. Richardson's probably my guy, and that's about the chalkiest I can be this week.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, there's a guy there who you know could get you 22 points, and the roller coaster ride of being an Anthony Richardson manager this year.
He's kind of like the running Jameis.
There you go.
He could run for two touchdowns, or he could throw three picks.
There you go. I like it.
Or do both.
Which starting Atlanta quarterback are you going to talk about, Jack?
Well, I do think Michael Penix should probably be picked up because we don't know what we have. I just think about all of the leagues that we're in. You're telling me there's a starting quarterback on a team that's available? Like, yeah, I probably pick him up almost. But I like Russell Wilson. He's available in 51% of leagues. Baltimore's secondary soft. They're going to have to score some points to keep up. Then he has Kansas City and Cincinnati coming to him. Kansas City's been pretty vulnerable too. So I think Wilson can get you, you know, he's probably got a high floor, real low ceiling. But 10, 15 fantasy points, 12, 15, he's going to be in that range. And again, if that's what works in your calculus for your team, go for it.
Yeah, Lyle talked about him a little bit in DFS. Aaron Rodgers available in 50% of leagues against the Rams this week, coming off just a fantastic game. I don't know if he's playing for next year. I don't know if he's playing because people have upset him about this Netflix thing that he had going on. I don't mind starting Aaron Rodgers this week. A deep league play would be Drake May, owned in only 20% of leagues, so he's out there probably in yours. And again, it's just for the rushing aspect of it. Bills are a tough defense, and this is a desperate super flex play in deep leagues, but I like Drake May as well. How about running backs, Jack?
Well, I got a bunch. I'll throw three names at you quick. Kendra Miller, available, and all these guys are available in 70% or more. With New Orleans, I don't think that they're going to trot Kamara out. I wouldn't. You've got Taylor Jr. and San Fran, who looks to be the starter there with everyone and their grandma being on IR. And then Amir Abdullah really performed pretty well, especially in catching. And with Aiden O'Connell back under center, I like some of those receiving threats. He's kind of like a dual threat running receiver. So all these guys are available in more than 70% of leagues. And, I mean, these are all good, sexy, flexy plays.
Lyle.
With you. Those guys are on my list. Add Tajay Spears to the mix, too, especially if Pollard's out. If Pollard's playing, I don't really like Spears as much, but if Pollard's out, he's going to get a lot of work, and he certainly can do the help you out in PPR formats, and I think he's available in about 50% of leagues.
Deep league plays only, deep league flex type of plays, Justice Hill, available in 75% of leagues. How much work, you know, December used to be Derrick Henry time. How much work are they going to give him? They're going to make the playoffs, so are they going to let Justice Hill see a little bit more action out of the backfield? He can catch the ball. The only other one I see, because I had to pick him up, so it's right there on the screen, and that's Craig Reynolds from Detroit. With Montgomery going down, the up next guys are Craig Reynolds and Sione Vaki. Reynolds has done it before. That's why I think he's the play, but I expect Gibbs, it was talked about earlier, I expect Gibbs to probably get 22 carries this week. So there's going to be some carries out there, and I think it's going to be Craig Reynolds just because he has been there before. But in dynasty leagues, I don't see any reason you shouldn't be stashing Sione Vaki. Wide receivers, Lyle.
Jalen McMillan. I think he jumped out at me. 70% available. He's starting to heat up for Tampa Bay. Baker's still playing good football. It all adds up to him at least being a viable, sexy flexy if you had an injury or need to fill somebody in for a week.
Jack.
Yeah, he's a must-grab, must-own. John, you mentioned Coker earlier. Leggett is doubtful. Thielen, obviously, Thielen's available in 40% of leagues. If he's available in your league, especially at PPR, you got to pick up Thielen, and I'd consider him as a WR2 sexy flexy immediately. But Coker for that long play, I mean, he just had a really long touchdown last game. He's looked pretty good. So, I mean, he's available in every league, 96%. And if Leggett is out and Coker drops the questionable tag, I think he's a very viable sexy flexy play this week and next week as well.
I agree with all of that. And my guy is Rashad Bateman. And this is a little bit of a scary play, but he had 3 receptions, 80 yards, a couple scores last week against the Giants. Yes, Baltimore is going up against Pittsburgh. Yes, that's a much more difficult matchup. Will all the focus be on, you know, Flowers? I don't know. But again, we're throwing darts against the wall here. So this would be a deep league flex play, and he's available in 80% of leagues. How about tight ends, Jack?
Well, he's just above the cusp of availability, but Freiermuth is available in 45% of leagues. Got 3 consecutive games against Cleveland, against Cincy, and I mean, he's got Baltimore coming up. They're a much softer defense, and with Pickens being out, Russell needs someone to throw the ball to. So I think he's a really, really viable option. And then the other one, John, it's a dart throw. It's high-low, really high floor, super low ceiling is Gesicki. I agree with you. I think Higgins is just too questionable. And Gesicki, like Yoshivas, increases his role in those moments. Yep. So he's available in 74% of leagues.
Yep. That's what happens in Cincinnati if Higgins doesn't go out there. Lyle.
Honorable mention to Noah Gray. Sorry about that. Noah Gray.
Yours, Lyle. Go ahead.
I was going to go back to receivers too. Another total dart throw, Ray McLeod, just because we don't know what Penix is going to do. If you're really desperate in deep league, I think I'd go with him. Tight end, Strange. Brenton Strange. He's available in 80-some% of leagues. Chig Okonkwo as well. Real deep league. Real deep league.
Mm-hmm.
He's had two last 4 weeks, I think, where he's double-digit fantasy points.
Well, Jack, you sniped my guy at the end. That's what I was going to pick on was Noah Gray. I like Brenton Strange as well. Noah Gray, I think it's been the theme of me talking about the waiver wire, is they don't want to hurt Kelsey. They don't need to hurt Kelsey. So Noah Gray is getting a lot of looks and scoring a lot of points and is available. And we're kind of back in the tight end zone where it's like, yuck, I don't want to start any of these guys, you know, not named Brock Bowers. Defense plays quick. What do you got, Lyle?
Well, if you could scoop up Atlanta or if they were available, you should have got them. Rams defense this week, maybe. Green Bay, those are all ones I can't check on the availability, but those are all teams I'd be interested in picking up on a 1 week plug and play.
For sure, Jack.
Yeah, the Falcons, I mean, they put up 12 points against the Chargers. Obviously, a big zero against Minnesota, did get enough sacks to keep the score from going negative. But then 19 here this last week, and they've got the Giants, Washington, and Carolina. I think all three of those are positive score, double-digit defense weeks. I do like Green Bay's matchups as well. And, you know, the Jets are available in a lot of leagues. I wouldn't sleep on them either. I mean, they've got the Rams right now, and then they finish if you're in a week 18 group with Miami. But the Rams don't scare me at all. I mean, Cooper Kupp had zero catches in his last game. They're really hit and miss, so I'm not necessarily afraid of them.
I think the Rams are the scariest team in the NFC right now. But flip a coin. Put Raiders on one side, Jacksonville on the other, and whatever side comes up, you can grab one of them. We talked about cheap points in this game. I think that's going to happen, but I don't know what the total is. I haven't looked. I know what the spread is. I don't know what the total is. I don't think there's going to be many points, but I think there's going to be some cheap points out there. All right, time for Trenchman Bench, and we want to talk about the remaining games for Week 16 of the NFL season. If we can help you in your league, shoot us a text on that Car Shop Inc. text line, 320-235-9094. We'll be right back on the Loon. Time for Trenchman Benchum on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Thanks for being with us today. If you miss any part of today's show, it's online, 941theloon.com. Don't forget, you can also grab that free 94.1 The Loon app. All right. Again, we have games today. In fact, in about, an hour and a half or so, games are going to kick off, and it starts with Houston and Kansas City, Jack.
Yeah, should be a fun game to watch. We've got Joe Mixon in the trenches 100%. Kansas City right now, first against the run, doesn't matter. He's Joe Mixon in fantasy playoffs. You don't have better options. Nico Collins, must start, WR1. C.J. Stroud, he's right in the middle of quarterbacks. And, I mean, the reason being, he's played pretty much every game. He's only gotten over 20 points twice. That was early against Jacksonville and Buffalo. Other than that, he's, 11 points, 12 points, 13 points. So knowing that number and knowing that there are other options out there, if you think an 11-point quarterback is going to win you your playoffs, then I want into your league. I'm benching C.J. Stroud. I've got a 2QB league, and I'm benching him in favor of Michael Penix. And I would also bench him in favor of Cooper Rush, and I'd bench him in favor of Geno Smith because I kind of know what I'm going to get out of C.J. Stroud, and I don't know what I'm going to get out of those other guys. It could very well be much higher. So I got to take the risk. Dalton Schultz and tight end mandatory. I don't care for Tank Dell. I don't care for the Texans defense. So, yeah, that's it on the Texans side of the ball. Over to Kansas City. A lot of perennial starters over here. Mahomes looks like he's healthy and good to go, minus the ankle deal. So he looks like he's in. Kelsey's a must start, regardless of tight end mandatory. I think he's a sexy flexi. But Xavier Worthy, WR2 sexy flexi. Pacheco is a low-end RB2 sexy flexi. He's just not gotten the volume to be able to get him a lot of impactful fantasy points. So, I mean, 5, 7, and 5 over the course of the last 3 weeks. Started out the season strong, obviously had the injury and came back. He just hasn't gotten the volume yet with Kareem Hunt still splitting shares. So both of those guys are sexy flexi, or, you know, you're riddled with injury and you got no one else to put in the RB2 slot. And then you got Noah Gray in tight end. I think that he's a good tight end start. He's been a touchdown hawk. And even though Smith-Schuster's had a couple good games, I can't justify putting him in the lineup. So somehow or another, I like Kansas City to win this game, but I don't know how.
Kansas City is favored by 3.5 at home. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Saturday afternoon. What do you got, Lyle?
Well, for Pittsburgh, not a lot. It's been, despite all their regular season success here with just the whole team being injured, it seems like they're having a hard time putting things together right now. Russell Wilson, I just don't like him as a start. I think there's 12 better, so you keep him on the bench. Najee Harris had a really unfortunate week last week. I think game script kind of got him out of the game. I think you still got to play him as an RB2 this week. And Pat Freiermuth, he's the only other guy I'm going to put in the trenches for sure for the Pittsburgh Steelers, because he scored touchdowns in 3 straight weeks. He pretty much is their passing game right now with George Pickens out, and he will be out for sure this week. So I think those are the only two I'm going to play. Jaylen Warren, maybe in a deeper league, especially in a PPR league. But I'm going to stay away from him as well. For Baltimore, I got a lot of starts here. Starting with Lamar Jackson, amazingly enough, this is only going to be the 6th time he's played against Pittsburgh, and he's never broke 20 fantasy points. Mm-hmm. So as much as I'm expecting good things from Lamar, maybe temper your expectations just a bit this week while you put him in your lineup. Derrick Henry's a must start. Zay Flowers is a wide receiver too. And I think Mark Andrews in tight end mandatory is still a top 12. So you got to keep him in the lineup. My questionable one is Rashad Bateman, and it mostly is just injury related. If he's good to go with his foot injury, I think you can pencil him in as a sexy flexi. And I will play both defenses, especially if you've been riding them all season and you haven't picked up a Falcons or whatever for a better matchup. I think you play both defenses this week.
There, Pittsburgh's an entirely different team with and without George Pickens. Baltimore favored by 6.5. All right, let's move on to Sunday football. Starting off with Minnesota taking on Seattle. Now, here's the thing I know, and is that 99% chance of rain from the kickoff all the way to the end of the game. And that is going to change some things, maybe for your lineups. Or maybe it isn't, but I'm telling you, don't expect too much. I think it's okay to start Darnold this week. Aaron Jones might be the highest point getter for the Purple. I don't know for sure, but I'm thinking so. Even though Cam Akers is really coming in and starting to chew into Aaron Jones' workload, that might be a playoff thing too. You're starting Justin Jefferson. You're starting Jordan Addison in a flex. You're probably starting TJ Hockenson, and more than likely you're starting that Minnesota Viking defense. We don't know the status of Geno Smith, but he doesn't have a tag on him on this sheet that I'm looking at. So it's looking like he's going to be a go. Kenneth Walker III, kind of been a disappointment this year. I guess we knew what we get with Kenneth Walker, where it's 1 yard, minus 3 yards, 2 yards, and then all of a sudden 84 yards. But he really hasn't had the 84 yards going this season. Start him as a flex, although, again, you're not expecting too much. And the only reason I want to start him is because I think there's going to be a lot of ground game in a game where there's rain all day. The only wide receiver I like, we talked about him earlier, is JSN. I think you can start him as a wide receiver too. Metcalf as a flex, and that is the end. Minnesota favored by 3, and again, there will be rain more than likely the entire game. Over to you, Jack. Arizona and Carolina.
Yeah, well, Arizona, this one's pretty easy. James Conner might be the start of the week. You know, he's got some injuries at backup. So if you're a James Conner owner, you want to get out there and check out, I think it's DJ Davis is going to be the next man up, with Benson being questionable and really looking like he's not going to play. Outside of that, all right, so let's talk a little Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is in the trenches for sure, mostly because of the matchup, though, because of Carolina. I'm not a big Kyler Murray truther, but he's in there with that matchup. Trey McBride, I'd have him in a sexy flexi or a tight end spot, either one, but he's not on the bench. He's a point scorer. Mike, is he the one that's got the most receptions and no touchdowns, or is that Bowers?
Who's that?
Which one?
McBride. McBride is, for sure. Yep.
So I like him to get off the schneid this week. Put a hundy down on an anytime touchdown scorer, Trey McBride, and see what happens. Marvin Harrison at the WR slot. The Cardinals defense, if you want to start them, go right ahead. And like I said, look for that backup running back just so you can anchor in your spots. On the Carolina side of the ball, you wouldn't think we'd have a lot to talk about, but Chuba Hubbard is a running back one. I mean, you can get this guy in all day. Arizona's bad against the run. And Hubbard's going to get a lot of volume, so get him in there. Bryce Young, you know what? I'll the best way I could say it is I like him better than C.J. Stroud, and not as much as like a Michael Penix. So that's where he's at. I know he's going to do better than Stroud, you know, or has the potential, but he does still have a ceiling. Adam Thielen, especially in PPR, looking like Leggett's not going to play. So if Coker drops that questionable tag, go ahead and get him in there as well. Don't like the Carolina defense at all. I mean, I know Arizona's slated to win this game. I'm pretty sure they're the favorite. But I wouldn't sleep on the Carolina Panthers here. I think this could be a game that they could easily be competitive and possibly squeak out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Arizona is favored by 5. Detroit, Chicago, Lyle.
Yeah, lots of trenches here, starting with Detroit. This defensive injury, rash of injuries they've had, it might make their offense even better just because they have to score more points, I think. And starting with Jared Goff, I think he's a top 12 guy, so you put him in. Jahmyr Gibbs is a must start, especially now that Montgomery's going to be out for the rest of the regular season, it looks like. Amon-Ra St. Brown, same thing. I was wrong about Sam Laporta last week. He did get a nice double-digit fantasy day, and he's up to tight end 11 overall. He's had double-digit fantasy points 4 of the last 5. I think unless you are really loaded at tight end, you got to put him in now. Jameson Williams, I think he's a sexy flexi this week. I think that's where I probably draw the line. I know you could play some Craig Reynolds as a running back flex or something like that, but or you could maybe even go with Tim Patrick. I know he got brought up earlier, but I'm keeping those guys on the bench. As for Chicago, I think there's just two guys in the trenches for sure. DJ Moore, probably a safe wide receiver 2. I know he didn't have a great game against the Vikings, but it was still a double-digit fantasy day. And then Keenan Allen, I think in a PPR setup, he's still a wide receiver 3 for this week. DeAndre Swift is a really curious case here because he's only had about 8 fantasy points per game in the last 4, but he's had like 15 carries per game. So if he finds the end zone, I think he's
super frustrating.
Yeah, I don't own him in any leagues, but I think just because of the volume, you still got to play him. I think he's a RB2 or a flex. But that's probably it. I don't think I'm playing Caleb Williams in a key playoff game, and I definitely don't like either defense.
Yeah, Detroit favored by 6.5 points. All right, I get Tennessee and Indianapolis. When I look at Tennessee's depth chart, it's just laden with red, whether it's questionable, whether it's injured reserve. Not that it matters much. It's the Tennessee Titans, and what a mess they have been since they – stupidly got rid of Mike Vrabel. And that's more I want to talk about Tennessee. Mason Rudolph starting this game. I really only see like 1.5 starts. Pollard's questionable. Throw him out there if he does play. Tajay Spears, God, boy, that better be a deep. You know, when Lyle was talking about, I don't want any part of Craig Reynolds, some of us, me, have no choice after watching David Montgomery go down. And if you're one of those guys who you have no choice, Tajay Spears is all right to throw him in as a flex if you have to. Calvin Ridley's the only other person I might want a part of because I just think it's going to be target city to him from Mason, but they're coming from Mason Rudolph. Over to Indianapolis, a little bit brighter. Anthony Richardson, I put him out this week against Tennessee. I talked about that earlier. Jonathan Taylor may have something to play for after dropping the ball before crossing the goal line last week.
What are we going to stop seeing this? These are professional athletes. That's exactly right. Carry the ball through the back of the end zone.
It's
That happened twice last week. When the Bengals defensive guy did that too?
Yep. Just one more step, guys. One more step. Then you can do your dancing and partying and whatever you like to do in the end zone.
Could you imagine losing your fantasy matchup on that Cincinnati Bengal defense?
Yep. Yep.
Let me tell you what. I love the arrogance biting people in the butt. That is one of my favorite things. You want to be arrogant and cocky? Watch us take these points off the board. And then you get to sit there and be depressed and upset and blah, blah, blah. But every week you see it. You're Jonathan Taylor. You're smarter than that. You're not a rookie wide receiver. You know better.
You imagine doing that on a Belichick or a Vince Lombardi team. I mean, you'd never see the field again. So
let me throw a quick Belichick note into you, John, real fast. People talking about him not being an NFL coach and this, that, and the other, not being a good coach, bad GM. You ever see Belichick not manage the clock right? You ever see him not use his timeouts right? You ever see him not teams ready to go? You don't get 12 men on the field a lot with Belichick. I mean, that dude was a phenomenal coach.
Yep. Yep.
Phenomenal. He's been trashed lately on podcasts and stuff. It's like these people have totally forgotten who he was.
Yep. I totally agree with you. As far as the rest of Indianapolis goes, the only guy other than Richardson and Taylor that I would consider is Josh Downs. Seems to be the only guy who can get open, but Richardson's completing only like 46% of his passes, something like that. So that's way more talk than I wanted to give about that game. Although the side talk with you guys was just fine. Indianapolis favored in that game by 3.5 points. Rams, Jets, Jack.
Yeah, well, I mentioned earlier that I'm not afraid of the Rams, and I'm really not. I mean, they're only 3-point favorites to the Jets. Now that said, yeah, they could win by 20, but we're gonna have Puka's gonna be in the lineup for sure. Stafford is fine at QB. He's performed fairly well. He's kind of right there in the middle of the pack, but you know he's had some good games. Kyler Williams, Cooper Kupp must starts. Don't let Cooper Kupp 0-point game scare you. If you survive that and you're still in, then just keep moving. Might still have him in the trenches. And I don't mind the Rams defense. I'm not going any farther in that lineup, but I don't mind their defense this week just because, you know, Aaron Rodgers has been unpredictable with the ball. On to the New York side of the ball, Devontae Adams, a must start. I think Wilson is a WR2, Hall is a running back one. I looked at maybe trying to squeeze Lazard into a lineup. I can't bring myself to do it. I wanted to because he's had so many good games, but I just can't do it. I'd have Isaiah Davis on my bench if I'm a Breece Hall owner for sure because he's filled in really well as backup. And then Rodgers. I think this is a week that you could safely start Aaron Rodgers, and he's probably going to get you 20 fantasy points. I like him quite a bit this week. I can't think of where the injury at quarterback that you need him at this point in the season, but I do think that he's a safe 20-point play.
Just like Jack said, Rams favored by 3. Lyle, Philadelphia, Washington.
This is a pretty cookie-cutter lineup for this one. Unless you guys have some real objections at the end, I think this one's pretty straightforward. You're putting Jalen Hurts in the trenches, Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, for sure. Devontae Smith, at this point, you can't really bench him. He's producing like a wide receiver 2-3, so keep him in the lineup as well. I don't think you can play Grant Calcaterra. I think there's 12 better out there. And I would probably still play that Philadelphia defense as well. They've just been good all season, even though they do get a tough matchup here with Washington. As for the Commanders, you're playing Jaden Daniels. He's had a great rookie season. And I got to admit, I was completely wrong. You don't even have to look up the tape. I'll just admit it right now. Terry McLaurin was really, really good this year, and I did not think that was going to happen. In fact, he's up to number 5 overall in our PPR setup. So you're playing Scary Terry. And Brian Robinson, it's not pretty all the time, and he's kind of been banged up, but when he plays, he's going to get his touches, so I think he's a volume-based RB2. And the only real question mark for me would be Zach Ertz in a tight end mandatory league. It looks like he's maybe got a chance if he passes a concussion protocol test here. If he does, he's a low-end tight end for your lineup at best. I got no other starts, though. I don't think anybody else is really worthy of a lineup spot.
I just don't think any of us knew how good Jaden Daniels would be. And Cliff Kingsbury has earned himself some praise. Philadelphia favored by 3.5. Well, here we go. Cincinnati taking on Cleveland. We'll start with Cleveland, and because it's pretty simple. Jerome Ford is maybe a flex play. Jerry Judy's going to get probably Jerry Judy volume, but Dorian Thompson Robinson is starting the game. They got to know what they have out of this guy who's a super athlete, except he can't play quarterback. They should probably keep him and turn him into a receiver or something. It's a sad day for those of us who are very fond of Jameis Winston to see him sit on the bench for in favor of Dorian Thompson-Robinson, but it is what it is. David Njoku, tight end mandatory start, sure, but keep an eye on his status. Over to Cincinnati, which is a whole different animal. These guys are putting up some points. You're starting Burrow, you're starting Brown, you're starting Chase. Keep an eye on Higgins. Jack talked about it earlier. If Higgins is out, Gesicki all of a sudden turns into a playable option, but only in tight end mandatory starts. I'm not so sure I'm trotting Higgins out on the field or any other pass catcher in Cincinnati. Cincinnati is favored in that game by 9 points. Jack, New York Giants, Atlanta Falcons.
Here we go, baby. Game of the week. Dun, 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 dun. Uh-huh. You know, just like an Atlanta Falcons fan to hold out hope that somehow or another the Bucs will drop one and we'll win out, and then we own the tiebreakers. So will a 10-7 Falcons team make it? We'll see. Nick, I'm putting him in the trenches. Drew Lock, he's on the bench. Tracy Jr., I'm putting him in the trenches as an RB2. And, I mean, because it's Atlanta, if you want to try to start a Wandale Robinson or a Slayton or something, go right ahead. I think that PPR, sexy, flexy, they still don't make the cut on my team. Devin Singletary's vultured a couple of carries here and there, so if you're really desperate at running back, Devin Singletary might be even like a little cheater DFS play this week. Tracy was carrying questionable tag through the week, so just keep an eye on that. On the Atlanta side of the ball, you know what? We're starting them all, baby. Let's go. If they got a Falcon on their helmet, put them in the trenches. Bijan, RB1. Penix, my QB. Here we go. It's Michael Penix time. Drake London, I've got him in. Darnell Mooney, I've got him in. The Falcons defense. Ray-Ray McCloud is a sexy flexi. And I'll put Kyle Pitts in and tight end mandatory because I think, I'm hoping, I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that Penix solves our problems. If he doesn't, I got to start thinking again. It's a coaching deal. So this is the game. This is a get-right game. I like Atlanta to win. I like it to be a good fantasy game for these key players in Robinson and London and the Falcons defense. So let's get it.
The Penix is in. Atlanta favored by 8.5 with their new starting quarterback.
I mean, it's been 2015. It's been Matt Ryan, Julio prime time since that was the case.
All right. Lyle, New England, Buffalo.
Yeah, you know, there's not as many starts here as I was thinking. I was penciling them all up, especially for the New England side. Drake May, we've talked about a lot about how steady he's been, which is great for some purposes in fantasy. He's just kind of established a 15-point floor. So if you need 15 points, you can get Drake May, plug him in. But I think you can find a better option this week. I'd keep him on the bench. Ramondre Stevenson, he's been a bit of an enigma this year. I just think he's just a flex at best. It's just he hasn't found the end zone very often. I think just one touchdown this season. So unless he's going to have a game of the season, I'd flex at best. Hunter Henry, same thing. Kind of a solid floor. He's tight end 11 overall. If you've been riding him all year or using him all year, I guess you keep him in your lineup. But again, there are higher upside guys like Brenton Strange, I think, this week, especially in a PPR format. And I'm definitely not playing any of the receivers. DeMario Douglas, Kayshon Boutte, Kendrick Bourne, they've all been pretty mediocre, all on the bench. Buffalo, you're playing Josh Allen. He's got to be in the lineup. You're trenching James Cook and Khalil Shakir, who's been, I think, probably about a top 24 wide receiver, especially in PPR formats. So you're playing him. After that is where it gets dicey. I'm not playing Keon Coleman in the playoffs yet. I know he had an okay week returning from an extended injury. I'm keeping him on the bench. I'm keeping Dalton Kincaid on the bench, too. He also came back from injury and, yeah, 4 catches for 53 yards. I'm just not betting all my playoff life on him outperforming that this week. Same with Amari Cooper. He belongs on the bench as well. But do make sure you get that Buffalo Bill defense in your lineup.
Amari Cooper belongs on the bench. You're right. I just never thought the words would come out. Ugh, that is something else. Buffalo favored by 14.5. And that is going to do it for this part of the fantasy football foursome. We've got 4 more games to talk about, so we're going to do that during overtime. And you can find overtime on the app or also 941theloon.com. So We want to thank our producer, Nate Thomas. For Jack and Lyle, my name is John. We will see you on Overtime at the Fantasy Football Foursome.